Ray broke up with me. Can you believe it?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you're like a horrible cunt to him, so... I'm sorry, Marnie. It's just this man drama cycle is so endless. I can't keep up anymore.
Ray was supposed to break the cycle. And besides, he was just supposed to be grateful that I even wanted to talk to him. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to top your news. So, what do you got?
Well, I'm pregnant.
That's very funny.
Not a joke. Just what's going on in my uterus.
Holy fucking shit. Hannah, how did this happen?
How does anything happen? I went to the Hamptons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Girls. We are just two boys watching HBO's Girls. We are your hosts. I'm Joe Welke.
I'm Vance.
And today, we're discussing Season 6, Episode 6, titled Full Disclosure. This is overall Episode 58. It was directed by Jamie Babbitt, written by Murray Miller. The original air date was March 19th, 2017, to an audience of 576,000 people, 0.576 million. And this is a big episode, man.
The biggest. The biggest.
Yeah, the biggest thus far.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I thought you had one of your predictions right about what the title meant. And then The end of the episode really just pulled the rug out from underneath it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, oh, that's what it was.
I thought that I was right. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't. But I was kind of right.
Yeah.
I was almost right.
Yeah, almost right is good enough in the Boys Watching Girls book.
For the Boys Watching Girls better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got two main stories. We got a Hannah story. We got a Marnie story. It starts out with Hannah and Marnie at the beginning, and then they just diverge from there. Shall we do the opening scene and then Marnie's story?
Yeah, let's do that. And I got to say, I really love this opening scene.
Oh, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
This episode is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of it. They've been kicking ass recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been all right.
This season's been pretty good. There's no forced blowjobs on people. There's...
Yet.
Yet. Yeah. All right. So the episode starts out with Hannah and Marnie having a salad together. They're, they're meeting for the first time in a while. And Marnie is like, all right, I know that you only called me over here because you got some big news to tell. But let me just tell you something about what's going on in my world. And I don't want to step on your big news or anything, but I want to just disclose this first. Ray broke up with me. Can you believe that? And Hannah goes, I can absolutely believe that. You're a huge fucking cunt to him.
Which was like, yes. Like, that is the only... Like, how could she even say, can you believe that, when she went to Poughkeepsie on that cheating weekend? Yeah.
I wrote down, I got the quote wrong. It's like, yeah, you're a horrible cunt to him. Yeah. And then Marnie's basically like... Well, yeah, but like he should just be happy to have me around because I'm hot and he's Ray. I paused it and it was 42 seconds into the episode. And that is when I decided there's no writing this ship. There's no writing this Marnie ship.
No, Marnie's forever sunk. The worst. Like, we don't even have to, you don't have to listen to the last episode to see who's going to be the bottom of the girl ranking. Like, it's already Marnie. Like, she said he should be grateful I wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
About Ray. I'm just like, wow, man. Wow. When I heard that, I was just like, you know what? You're done. Get into basics.
Just the lack of awareness, the lack of just any kind of being a decent human being. Just so awful.
And it's to a detriment to the point of, like, I can't even feel bad about anything bad that happens to her. Like, at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and as this episode kept going along and bad stuff's happening to Marnie, but I'm just like, good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care.
Like, how am I supposed to feel about this? I guess I'm embarrassed for everybody involved, but I don't care that it's happening to you. Because it couldn't happen to a worse person. Like, you're right. 42 seconds into the episode.
No, dude, I swear to God, I paused it and I made note of like 42 seconds in. I was like, oh, this is, it's done. It's over. Like, I'm already done with Marnie for this whole episode. I've had my fill. But so then Marnie's like, oh, well. Sorry to step on your big news. I didn't mean to do that. Didn't mean to make it about myself, which of course you did. What's your big news, Hannah? And then Hannah's like, oh, it's nothing. I'm just pregnant. And Mara's like, no, you're fucking not. And Hannah's like, yes, I am. I'm 2 months pregnant. And then Marnie has kind of a fit about like, oh my God, what are you going to do? And then Hannah's like, I think I'm going to keep it. She's like, that's so stupid. That's the biggest mistake. And then Hannah's like, I knew you were going to try and be controlling about this. I didn't want to tell you. And then there's like a lull. And then Marnie's like, you know what? Never mind. I'm on board with this. I think it's a good idea. It's like, where did that come from?
I'm trying to figure out remember the beats of it. Because she doesn't want it to happen. And then she's like, I guess you do kind of have things figured out. Enough more than like most.
Yeah, it was something like, you've got your life together more than most people our age.
Well, and it was a great moment where Hannah's like, you wanting me to do this makes me want to do it less.
Yeah.
The fact that Marnie's on board makes her question her decision. Which is not a bad barometer to use. Like, if Marnie thinks it's a good idea, that you probably shouldn't do it.
Well, Marnie's opinion of the whole thing like shifts dramatically in the space of like 10 seconds.
I can't remember if there was some moment that actually made her change her mind. I think Hannah said something and then it kind of did it, but I can't remember what it is exactly.
Yeah. And then, so after Marnie's like, okay, you know what? This might be a good idea. All right, this is good for you. She's like, so what about the father? Who's the father? And then Hannah's like, oh, don't even worry about it. Like, he's some ski instructor. He's got a girlfriend. I'm not going to tell him. He's not going to be in the baby's life. And then Marnie's like, I'm back to thinking that this is a real shitty idea.
And then Hannah gets up and she's like, I knew you were going to try to control this baby thing or whatever, or control my body when she walked away. And I think Marnie's making some interesting points. But before we even get to those, it was crazy how Marnie was already controlling it before she agreed for it. Like,
Like,
she was just really coming down hard on Hannah.
Because she's like, you're not going to tell the father. You have to tell the father. He has a right to know. And then Hannah's like, oh, well, I mean, it's my body. It's like my baby. He doesn't need to know. And he probably would be a terrible father. And, why would I tell him? And it would like ruin his life. And I want the baby. I don't want him in the baby's life. And then Marnie's just not on board.
Yeah, there's so many like good lines in this scene. Like the way the back and forth goes, it's kind of like funny and bantery and like really well crafted like dialogue here. I wish I had written more down, but I was kind of paying attention to it. I don't have the full quotes.
Really good lines here that you guys will have to watch the episode of.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can watch the episode. Yeah, yes, we're not recapping anything else. No, but it's like it's a really good back and forth between them, and they both are making points at least that aren't like easily just dismissible.
You can see both sides.
Exactly.
Of why a person's like saying it. Mm-hmm. But then when Hannah storms off into the bathroom, Marnie's like, oh, is this the pregnancy hormones making you all emotional? And Hannah's like, no!
just good stuff. It was just a good opening. I thought the dinner when they first started, I thought she was having everybody over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was surprised when they first got into the news. I was like, wait, isn't like Shoshana or somebody else going to show up? And spoiler alert, there is no Shoshana or Rey in this episode.
Nope.
Yeah.
The two most likable characters, MIA.
Well, I just, it's one of those things where I guess Shoshana is not a part of this. Like, she's just not a part of the girls.
No.
Yeah.
And was she ever?
Yeah, that is, I don't know if she was always around. And it wasn't,
like she,
and she wasn't around because Jessa was around sometimes. Sometimes she was just around, and I wasn't.
It's interesting because she, a show about women in their 20s trying to figure out life, Shoshana was replaced by Rey, a man in his mid-30s. Like, Rey is so much more a girl than Shoshana is at this point.
He's taken over the screen time, that's for sure.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
So then we get the title card, and this is where the paths diverge.
All right.
So we're going to go with Marnie first. And Marnie and Desi are, it looks like they're doing a sound check for a show that they're supposed to be doing. And
looks like a sizable venue, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people. And like, this comes up later on in the episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know the scale of their success at all.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, the thing that they're doing at the end of this episode makes no sense if you actually are a part of what we just saw in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, they're playing in this big-ass venue, like a huge stage. Desi's like slumped over. He looks all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And Marnie's like all prim and proper and just like, all right, Desi, let's do sound check. Come on. I'm thinking we should go with this song and then this song and then this song. And then Desi's just like, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
His shirt's all dirty. He looks like he hasn't showered in weeks.
Yeah. And I feel like this is both of their only jobs.
Well, that's what Marnie basically says, because Desi's like, I can't do this. Like, I'm so stressed about this, and I've been stressing about it for 2 weeks. And then Marnie's like, Desi, I don't think you have another job. We need the money. And he's like, money? Who gives a fuck about money? Like, this is awful, and I hate doing this. And Marnie is just like the coldest once again.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you better fucking suck it up, because we got this show, and then we got the show for my mom's friend. And then Desi's like, I'm not doing that fucking show.
Yeah.
She's like, you better.
He was like, what's tomorrow? And she's like, the show for my mom. And he's like, in Jersey. And he's like, I don't want to go to Jersey for this show. Like, which, it's not that big of a deal. They've gone to other cities. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jersey's that crazy. But I don't know why if they're doing this venue, why they would be doing their brand of music in the next venue. And it's so weird.
With the cast of characters that are in that next venue.
Yes.
Their shit would flop, I feel.
It's like, I just got to talk about it because we're there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, but, like, well, I don't want to go into full details, but they do a show kind of. And it's like a Jersey nightclub, like with the DJ, like people are trying to dance.
Yeah. And the mom, it's like a bunch of moms and they're all dressed like rocker chicks stuff.
Everyone's out trying to, like, it's a bunch of like cougars and MILFs and like, everyone in like their satin bright shirts. And like, it looks like the place where a DJ's going to be bumping music. It's going to be too loud. You're going to be dancing, drinking expensive drinks and trying to hook up. I don't know why everyone want to stop and listen to duets.
Yeah, from this, Marnie like, and Desi's like folk shit.
Yeah, it does not fit the venue at all.
Yeah, everybody at that venue is dressed like they're at like a hair metal concert.
Yeah.
Like Marnie's mom is wearing like a, who's the lady that sings that song? I need a hero. I'm old enough over here.
I'm drawing a blank on that. I wanted to say Cyndi Lauper, but I don't.
That's the kind of aesthetic.
The kind of vibe they have.
And it's just like, this is not gonna fit.
Yeah,
it's not gonna fit at all.
I don't understand why Marnie's even dressed like that, knowing the music they do.
I know. So we're just going to skip this whole first scene now. We'll get to the...
With this first scene, I do want to bring up that Desi walks away and makes a suicide reference. Because I want to bring it up every time they do this.
Yeah.
Because I really thought at the end they were going to pay off one of these.
Oh, yeah. I thought so, too.
I thought they were paying it off. Yeah.
So Desi does, after he and Marnie get into kind of a kerfuffle about doing the show in Jersey, he's like, I'm going to take five. Maybe I'll be back in a bit or not. Maybe I'll kill myself. And then closes the door. And then Marnie's just looking like, ugh, Desi. Which is like a total manipulative move. Manipulative. Ugh. By Desi. And yeah, and then that's basically that scene.
And apparently they did that show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess he did that show that night. I guess he came back and he performed.
I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But then the next time we see them, it's Marnie outside of, I think the place is called La Vue.
Yeah.
But it's that bar that we were talking about earlier, and she's waiting outside there with her mom, and the sound check guy comes out, and Marnie's like, where is Desi? He's late again. Where's Desi?
Well, and she's there with her friend, right? Is that her mom's friend? Sharva or something?
Yeah, Sharva.
Yeah.
And they're doing the show for Sharva because it's her birthday.
Yeah.
And then, so Desi's MIA. The sound check guy comes out and he's like, hey, are you guys going to sound check or what? And she's like, yeah, I'm just waiting for my partner to show up. He's running late. And then the sound guy says something like, well, I have to leave in 5 minutes to pick my girlfriend up from the hospital. And then Marnie goes, can't she just get an Uber?
Marnie in this scene is even worse too. Like, I mean, as this scene goes on, but I also don't understand what this guy's deal is, because it seems like he's DJing later. So I don't know if he had to leave, pick her up, and then come back. I don't know what's going on music wise in these videos.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no clue.
They're playing. And Marnie, they're playing arenas and the back room of nightclubs.
Yeah, like the back of a bowling alley. But yeah, like we said earlier, Marnie's dressed up like a rocker chick, like Bonnie Raitt or something. Bonnie Raitt, that's a person, right?
Bonnie Raitt's a person. I'm not familiar with her. I'm not familiar with
Hold on, I need to go on a Google. I gotta need to go on a Google search, because now I need to know what Bonnie Raitt looks like and if Bonnie Raitt is an actual person.
Bonnie Raitt is an actual person. You did not just
okay,
make
she is
up.
A real person. It does look like she would dress like that. Okay, I wasn't wrong. All right.
Live fact checking, guys. Live fact checking.
Yeah, she looks kind of like a rocker chick. I think this is just not the person that I'm thinking of. But anyway, she's got leather jackets on in some of these Google pics.
Yeah, if you want to think of it, it's like if you've ever seen Howard the Duck in that scene that the mom from Back to the Future is in, and they are in a band. And there's so many references we could pull up.
Yeah.
And we're just going to pull up obscure ones.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, they're all rocked out. And then speaking of rocked out, Desi shows up on his motorcycle. Finally, he's an hour late. The mom's talking to a friend about hooking up with some guy, maybe the sound guy. I don't know.
Yeah, they're trying to hook up with the sound guy, the DJ. Yeah. I think he's the DJ. I don't know.
Yeah. So then Desi shows up and he takes off his helmet and he is obviously fucked up. And Marnie's like, why are you late? And he's just like mumbling. He's just like, she's like, Desi, if you want to keep being a musician, you're going to have to show up places on time. And he's like, I'm not a musician. I'm just acting like I'm a musician. And before that, I was acting like I was a actor. And before that, I was just acting like I was a big game photographer. He's like, my whole life I've just been acting. I don't even know who I am anymore. And Marnie's like, TikTok, bitch, I don't care.
I would love to see his big game career. I want to see that game photography.
We need to get a prequel, Desi's big game.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought what he was saying was really interesting because I could feel that, you know, he's pretending to be all these things and doesn't know who he is and whatnot. But he's also fucked up.
Yeah. Like,
he's so fucked up that I didn't understand how he managed to make it there on a motorcycle.
Like, yes.
Like, he can barely stand when he gets off the bike.
Yeah, as soon as he parks the motorcycle, he's like slumped over it and just like cross-eyed. And you can see it in his face. Like, the makeup people did a really good job on this.
Yeah.
Because he looks way fucked up.
And Marnie, being the worst person ever, is like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And then a mom comes out and she's like, he's high as fuck. Like,
yeah. And she, obvious. Like, I love that the mom is even like, yeah.
And the mom's like, you should know that. Like, Marnie, you should know when someone's high. Like, after all this time. Like, one, you know what his problem is. Two, just in general, being around the people that she's been around, she should know a little bit of people being high or something.
Yes. Yes, dude. Like, I didn't understand where Marnie's confusion was. I thought it was very obvious. This dude's fucked up. The real question is, what is he fucked up on? Like, did he go back to Oxy? Is he on meth or heroin or something? Like, that is the question at this point. Exactly. It's not a question of, is he high? He is. But Marnie's like, what's wrong with you? You're acting weird.
And then she goes on to become even worse at this point, where the mom is like, I can't believe you married this douchebag. And then she goes, oh, I married him because of you and the way you raised me. And she's like, the mom's like, what? She's like, you made a man seem like the only thing that was worthwhile. And like, this is why you pushed me towards marrying him. And then she started blaming Desi and her for her life being the way it was, and that she would not be a good grandmother or good godmother.
Yeah, for Hannah's baby.
Yeah. It was.
Dude. As soon as she started just blaming everyone around her, I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, will it ever end? Like, it's just one horror show after another.
Just take some personal accountability, you know? Like, it's interesting in an episode where we see Hannah completely taken accountability towards her actions, to see that Marnie has just not even come close.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she's like, I'm on the wrong side of my 20s and I'm all fucked up and I'm not going to be a good godmother and I'm going to be a bad wife. And like, you all made me this way.
It's like, geez. Like, if you knew, and yeah, if you knew this, like, you can know this thing, but it's your problem to deal with now. Like, it has been brought up, your daddy issues, a long time ago. Like, you can't go back on them. And they do something later in this episode that kind of rehashes something, too. Yeah.
Well, it's also like, what happened to her online therapy or whatever that she was going to that we kept hearing about? Was that just her sneaking out to go see Desi?
Oh, I didn't think she was going to do therapy at all. Desi told her she needed to get therapy after she left and cheated on him with Charlie.
Because I thought that she kept bringing up that she was going to some online therapist or something.
No, she needs to sit in a room. She needs to sit in a room with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next thing we see, so Desi's just like sitting on the side of the road at this point, and he's obviously not in any place to perform. Mm-hmm. Next thing that we see is they're on the inside at the party. And Marnie's talking to her mom and Shiraz. What's her name again?
Sharva.
Sharva. And Marnie is just kind of trying to cancel the gig. Like, the mom and the Sharva are like, oh, yeah, it's going to be so great. We can't wait to hear your sound. And Marnie's like, yeah, maybe next time. Obviously, we can't do it tonight. And then the mom is like, what? Are you serious? And Marnie's like, I mean, you saw Desi. There's no way I can fucking do this. I can't do it without him. He plays the guitar and like, he's the other half of the band. And the mom pulls her aside And she's like, you're fucking doing this show. I convinced Sharva to book you instead of JC Chazes, who is a member of NSYNC. And she's like, you need to do it. She's like, Mom, I can't. I don't know, you know, Desi knows all the songs. And then the mom is like, I know all the songs. I've memorized your lyrics. I can play the chords. Let's do it together. And
I mean, this is the end of season four, though, when Ray talks her into performing because Desi can't do it. And I was like, why are we rehashing this? Like,
yeah,
she one. There's so many things. One, why does Sharva want them to perform? Because when they go up, it doesn't seem like they are like they seem disappointed that the other music stopped. So it didn't seem like they had to perform that night. Like, it feels like the mom is, like, forcing her to for no reason at all. Like, Sharva is not even like, no, you have to perform because my friends came to hear this band that no one likes or knows of. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you know of Marnie's band, you would know that there's two people. Like,
well, also, Sharva mentions that she was in a ska band that opened for the Fugees.
Yeah.
Which, that's a horrible mix. Of genres. I mean,
there's weird stuff. Like, I've seen Wu-Tang open for a certain, what was the band name? I'm drawing a blank. If I remember, I'll bring it up. But like, bands will open sometimes not on the same like genre of music, you know? But I didn't understand that scene just for the fact that why. What did it do? What did it mean for Marnie? Because she was like, I don't know. This sucks that music is my only like income. And then Sharv was like, oh, yeah, I tore up with the Fugees. That was rough and blah, blah, blah. When we got left somewhere. And she's like, oh, wow. And I'm like, oh, is that going to make her not want to do music because you end up like Sharva? Or is that more motivation? Like, I didn't understand.
Well, this is what I didn't understand. Is Sharva mentions that she opened for the Fugees, and Marnie's like, oh my God, well, you got further along in your career than I ever did. But like a couple episodes ago, they were opening for the Lumineers.
Yeah.
And they were just playing in that giant fucking venue at the beginning of the episode, it seems.
And apparently they signed a multi-state tour recently, like Deshi said, when they were outside. So I'm like, I don't know if she's like, because we never find out what Sharva does now. And it's not like, oh, you got further than me and your life turned out great. Or you're hanging out with my mom trolling for booty. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what.
The popularity of Desi and Marnie's band is the new Shoshana's apartment. Where, like, we just don't know what where anything is and who's successful, like what's happening, the scale of their, because fucking at the end of the last season, right? Fucking women had fan sites dedicated to Desi and they're all like sucking his dick and stuff.
They hadn't even started the tour yet and he had groupies.
Yeah. Like what happened?
I don't know. And I know one thing that probably doesn't fly when you're a band of two people is when you perform and someone's mom replaces the male in the band, which happens here.
So Marnie's mom is like, I'll play all the parts. So the next time we see them all together, everyone's having a good time. The DJ's playing like this, you know, party rock fucking music. Then it's kind of like record scratch. Marnie and her mom are up on the stage and Marnie's mom's like, hello, everybody. We're the Michaels sisters.
Oh, I mean, so cringeworthy. So cringe.
Yeah. And Marnie's sitting there like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And she's looking over at Desi, who's just like stumbling around this party. And she's looking at him like, see what you fucking did? And he's like, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Like, I Desi's walk away at the end of this was my favorite. Sharva's in the middle of the dance floor and the music stops. She's like, what's going on? And then once the band starts, they're like, wait, who are these people? Like,
yeah.
If Desi was there, I think the reaction would still be the same.
Like, yeah, well, it looks like Sharva immediately, like, bails as soon as they start playing. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and it is awful. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It harkens back to when Marnie sang at Charlie's office, that cover of that Kanye song.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that. I don't know.
That was worse to me. That one was worse, but this was just...
That one was more cringeworthy, but this one was more like... It was bad, dude. Yeah. Like, the mom was, like, singing over Marnie.
Well, she was ad-libbing at the end.
Well, yeah, she starts scatting.
Yeah. I was like, wait, was this our whole plan to, like... what? Why is this happening?
Yeah. And I guess we're just like seeing Marnie's mom's insecurities and like trying to live vicariously through her or something. Well,
see, here's my thing. Like, if we cared about Marnie and her music and her relationship with Desi, this would be a low point and I'd feel really bad for her and be like, oh, this sucks that she has to like put up with. Because we didn't like Desi for the longest time, you know?
Oh, yeah,
I still don't really like Desi. But
yeah,
we never thought like, oh... We never get the chance to feel bad for Marnie, because I don't feel bad for Marnie here, like, because she's done horrible things up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, she sucks. She's been a terrible person through the whole episode.
Yeah,
and then we're supposed to be like, oh, poor Marnie, she has to sing with her mom, or like, I don't care.
Yeah, I just don't know how to I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling at this point. Besides, also, like, cringe.
Also, you know how to play your own songs. We saw it two seasons ago.
Yeah, that when they had that speech, like, you can do this by yourself. I'm like, no, that really meant a lot when Ray was telling her that, and her dream was to make music, and then she actually sang a great song in a appropriate venue. And then we see Desi just like drift away. Well, everyone starts to walk away from the dance floor. Like, the mom is going off. Marnie's like, just stop singing. Everyone on the dance floor is walking away from, like, leaving the dance floor, I guess. They're just leaving. They're getting away from this music. And Desi just, I was like, oh, is Desi going to run up on the stage and kind of like just feel Saves bad for Marnie and just kind of sing to like help? But now he's like, he just turns, dips. And this is where he goes outside. And I was like, oh no. We're actually going to get the badness. Because he goes out and he starts to try to start his motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't start it. And I was like, he's going to get on this motorcycle and just, we're never going to see Desi again. Which would be perfect for Marnie, because then she could like milk his funeral and death forever. I swear, she would milk it the shit out of it. She would be like,
oh yeah, husband died. That's when she started calling him the husband again.
My husband died and my bandmate and partner died, and like, I don't know if I could, like, she would completely pull absolutely that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I thought he was gonna get on that bike and something bad was gonna happen. But no, he can't start and he pushes it over and walks
away
and just says something like, bye Marnie. Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And that is the story for Marnie and Desi.
It's been a ride. I mean, I don't know if we've seen the last of Desi, but what an interesting thing, man.
Right? Like, I also think that this is a little bit of Lena Dunham and the writers of this show have no idea how the music industry works. That's why I think that we don't get, like, you can tell that they have a good grasp of how the writing industry works because, you know, she's a writer and she has experience like that. But I feel like this is just like, with the scale and not knowing how popular they are, I feel like you just have no idea how it works. Or maybe I have no idea how it works.
Yeah, maybe. Wasn't Jamie Babbitt, he was one of the directors, doesn't he? Or Peretz, weren't they music?
Oh, yeah, they were in a band. Yeah. Oh, well, then maybe we're wrong. Maybe the music industry is like this.
Or you just have to cram some stuff into an episode, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I have, but I just have no idea how popular they are at all.
I wonder who's bankrolling these tours of theirs.
Right? How do they survive?
Because this sound check in the beginning was so big, and then they showed up with like no equipment to the other venue.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know.
Desi shows up with
a guitar. That's about it.
Desi shows up with his acoustic guitar and fucking a whole lot of heroin in his system or whatever. I just.
Yeah.
So yeah, that wraps up Desi and Marnie. Unless do you have anything else to add on there?
I got nothing.
All right, good. Thank God.
We've talked too much about them, but it's so baffling.
Yeah, it's so wild. So after the salad scene, after the title card, Hannah's story kind of continues with she's getting dressed to do an interview with somebody for Esquire. So it seems like she's just like a freelance interviewer, mercenary person.
It's so weird that it seems like she's doing the exact same job she was doing for GQ.
Yeah.
You know, like she's still getting hired to go out and write articles for people. Like the way this was the season that started with her getting her story published, right? Like,
yeah.
In the New York Times or
it was in the New York.
Yeah.
And then she goes to the Hamptons for Slag Mag or whatever.
Yeah. So, the opening scene had a great line about the Hamptons. She's like, yeah, I don't know. How did you get pregnant? She's like, I went to the Hamptons.
How does anything happen? I went to the Hamptons.
Yeah. We'll stumble across those opening scene lines as we go. We'll get them.
Don't you worry, everybody. We'll rewatch this episode and live stream it.
Yeah. Don't make that promise. People ask for it. When she had that, it was like this big montage. And it's like, oh, she's back to writing. She loves it. She's doing what she wants to do. And now it's just like she's just a journalist, I guess, now. Like, she's doing a lot of interviews, it seems, even though that's not really her thing. Except for she did that with LaPone.
Patty LuPone.
Patty LuPone. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. Because the Patty LuPone interview was supposed to be like a, you know, advertorial about bone density or something.
Yeah, it was branded content, but it was still like meet a person, talk to them about some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as she's getting dressed, Elijah comes in a dress shirt and his tighty whiteies, and they're tighty whiteies this time.
I know, just pure tighty whiteies.
Going back to the classics.
Well, he went from tighty blackies to tighty blueies and out to tighty whiteies. So he's transitioning into a more. Yeah.
He's becoming more angelic as the season goes on.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he invites her to some kind of taco hot dog party. He's just trying to make small talk with her. And if you don't remember, last episode is the one where he called her she's going to be a terrible mother and it's a huge mistake. And he's basically worried that Hannah having a baby is going to ruin their friendship and ruin the thing that they've got going on. So that's where we are with Elijah. And he's just trying to, you know, make small talk because he misses Hannah or whatever. He still wants to be friends and he feels bad. And Hannah's not really having any of it. And he eventually apologizes for saying that she'll be a terrible mother. And he does confess, like, you know, I'm just worried that having a baby is going to, you know, ruin what we have going on. And I really like when we don't have anything going on because that's like when we thrive in our friendship.
Yeah. And that's the self-awareness I'm talking about, that like Elijah has and like Hannah has, like, I thought the scene did a good job of, okay, they had a big blow up, but this blow up isn't like a season long art thing. It was like instant reaction. Elijah blew up. He realized he was wrong. They talked it out and they're back on like level footing again. Cause I mean, the scene goes on, but yeah.
Yeah, because he apologizes and explains himself about, like, you know, I'm just worried that it'll fuck up our friendship. And Hannah's like, hey, it really hurt me when you said that. And it doesn't have to ruin our friendship. It's just like, things are going to change. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. And then they hug it out. And he starts talking about our baby. And she's like, our baby, I like that. And then they love each other.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
There's some great lines in this one where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay for anything, though.
Like, yeah.
And when he's like, well, I shouldn't have said you're going to be a bad mother. I'm not saying you'll be the best, like, but you're not going to be. And she's like, yeah, I know I'm not going to be the best. I'm not trying to win an award.
Yeah. And I also, when he's like, I'm just worried that I'm going to be a bad influence. And she's like, I'm going to be a bad influence. Like, we're going to be bad influences.
Yeah.
And like, and he's like, yeah, we need to make her the right amount of slutty.
Like, yeah, it's just like they both like they know their flaws and they're not like shying away from them, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they understand each other pretty well.
And they seem to understand themselves too. You know? Like Elijah knows he probably shouldn't be the only person like influencing a kid, and Hannah knows she's gonna make some huge mistakes being a mother. Oh, but knowing that is half the battle, you know? Because I feel
I
feel like Marnie would just feel like she could, like, to go back to Marnie. I feel like she would be like, I'm going to be a perfect mom. And even when we saw Jessa with the kid, she's like, I'm fine with this. And that, like, you don't know anything you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Elijah also makes the point of, like, our parents were fucked up and we turned out okay. And, like, we're going to be so much better than our parents. Like, or, like, we'll be at least as good. Yeah. And this baby will turn out okay. So I like that they patched that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after they hug it out for a little bit, Hannah gets a phone call from Adam. And she's like, oh my God, Adam keeps calling me. So she finally picks up and she's like, hello. He's like, did you watch it yet? And she's like, no, I'm a little busy with stuff. I don't want to watch your movie. So this movie's completed.
Mm-hmm. And we get more information. Yeah.
We do. We do get a little bit more information. So she goes down the stairs. She's like, I don't want to watch your movie. I don't have time. I'm doing stuff. Goes outside of her apartment building. And Adam is standing outside waiting for her. And she's like, great. Now you're stalking me. And he's like, no, I'm not stalking you.
I love that they reference the meta. I love that they reference the meta of like, oh, that's so 3 years ago. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Back when Adam was a stalker.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. But yeah, then Adam's just kind of being like, you got to watch my movie. You have to. And Hannah's like, I don't want to. And he's like, well, I need you to watch it to make sure that it's like real and it's accurate and I'm not making up shit. And I want you to see like, are these the things that you felt when we were in our relationship? And Hannah's like, probably not. She's just giving him a bunch of sass and then eventually drops the bomb that she's pregnant. And he's like, are you serious? Who's the father? Is it Jan? And she says, no, it's not Franz.
Yeah.
Because when he said Jan, I was like, who's Jan? Yeah. And she was like, no, it's Fran. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, like she's definitely angry. She's gritting her teeth, talking to him. And Adam does such a good job acting this scene of being like, really, he really wants her to see it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He doesn't want to fuck her over.
Yeah. And then this scene, we also learn that it's a 47-minute movie. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 months. She's been pregnant for 2 months. So they cranked this thing out fast.
So I'm guessing that they would have been able to. I feel like you can make a 47-minute long movie in a month. Am I wrong?
No, you could definitely do it. I mean, especially considering it seems like it's just two people.
Yeah,
yeah. It's doable. It's doable. Yeah,
I know we were like losing our shit last episode about like what, but now that we have kind of a bit of time scale, I'm like, okay, we can.
It's doable, but it's still long. Like people have spent longer to make like 10-minute movies. You know?
Yeah,
like,
it is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, like Yeah, there's commercials that have lasted longer in production and like to finishing, you know, like, so yeah, for the fact that when they first started talking about making a movie, they had to Google, how do you make a movie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To like now, 2 months later, they have a completed project. Like, editing takes a while. Like, sound design. Yeah. Like, it's just stuff takes a while. It just takes a while. It's doable. It's feasible.
And yeah. Adam had to hand write the script.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a little truncated, probably, just because otherwise you got to show, like, Lena and Dunham have the baby, like, and all that stuff. So, like, at that point, you know, so.
Yeah. Vance, let's make a fucking movie. And see how fast we can do it.
No.
Alrighty then, that will not be our post-podcast project, everyone.
That is the least like fun goal that I can think of. Let's do a shot.
For shot remake of the entire series of Girls, starring only us.
Oh, no. No, no, no. 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 Because I don't want to play Lena. I don't want to be Lena or Adam in that scene.
Who's going to be eating whose ass?
I'm not going to be eating. Oh, my God. I guess I'm going to be Marnie so I can not be nude.
Oh my god.
I mean, there's those 24-hour film competitions, you know, where you just make a one in a weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah I've seen those before.
Yeah, it's doable. I mean, it's fun.
You can do it. Yeah. And it can be pretty, if you know what you're doing and you have like the right equipment, you can make a pretty decent something.
I'm just saying, if you're Googling how do you make a movie, yeah, it's usually not a good sign.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, they got to the point where Hannah's saying that she's pregnant to Adam. And then, that kind of wraps that one up. Hannah runs away awkwardly.
I still don't know if that's how she really runs or if that's just for comedic purposes.
I feel like this one might be because she was in like a skirt and heels and stuff.
I'm going to say it's like 50-50.
Yeah. So the next scene with Hannah is her and her dad and her dad's partner, who's, what's his name again?
Tad and Keith. It's Tad and Keith.
Keith, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So she's discussing the whole situation, the pregnancy situation with her dad and Keith, and the debate about whether or not the father deserves to know that he has a kid comes up yet again. Mm-hmm. Hannah's basically like, well, I've already made the decision. I'm not going to tell the father. And Keith is basically the one that's pushing the, well, he should absolutely know. I was about to be a sperm donor and I would want to know like my kid's out there and, you know, what's going on with it. And then Tad is kind of like pushing back on Keith to be like, well, that's completely different. Like, you went into a thing knowing that you're going to be a sperm donor and knowing that this is for the purpose of having a child. Hannah just had sex with a guy that's a water ski instructor. Like, this was, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, a mistake. No, but not really. I don't know.
They weren't planning to have intended. A baby. No. Yeah.
And then Keith is basically like, well, how do you know he's not going to be a good father? And like, how do you know that you're not going to want him in the baby's life? And Hannah's like, well, you know, he's a ski instructor in like Aruba. I don't think that being a father is really going to be in his game plan. And
Keith's point is that you don't know that he doesn't want to have a kid. Like, she's just kind of going like, oh, he doesn't want to have a kid. Oh, he works. His days off are Tuesdays and Sundays or something weird.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's like, well, like the same thing could have been said for you, like just 2 months ago, like, you know. But I did like the way they approached I did like the way they approached the way everyone was viewing it, because mm-hmm. Keith's view came from, which I thought was interesting, when he said, oh, I was a sperm donor and I would want to know. I was like, dude, if you just randomly donate it, like, I'm sorry, yeah. you don't. But he's like, oh, I was donating to a lesbian couple that wanted to have a kid. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a little more different. That's a little more valid than if you just like random sperm bank and was like hunting down kids.
Yeah. That's what I thought at first too. I was, because I like looked into doing sperm donation, and people were saying like, that's weird. Like, that's crazy. You could just have kids out there. I'm like, yeah, but people want to have kids and can't have kids. Like, who gives a fuck?
No. I mean, I've had someone ask me for that. I don't know how serious they were when they asked me, but I don't know. Like, so that point, it made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ted's point was kind of valid, of like him relating it to him coming out and like,
yeah,
make your decision for yourself kind of thing. And like, don't do something that you're going to have to regret like later. I still feel like, Jean-Louis has the right to know.
Paul Louis
has the right to know. Just like, I get like it's Hannah's body, her baby, but it's mm-hmm. no way that Paul Louis gets her pregnant. She wants him involved in his life, and he says, no, it's your body, your baby. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't go the opposite way. Like, you know what I mean?
It is a very tricky and nuanced thing. And that's why I think this episode does a great job of, because it shows like multiple different, it raises multiple mm-hmm. questions and points about like, should the father be involved, and does he have the right to know, etc.
Yeah, because like if Hannah was like, oh, this is your baby and I need you to help pay for it, like the courts would say that he has to help pay for it because it's his kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, but then she could also say, I don't even want to let him know. It's one of those interesting ones where, I would say, in my opinion, that she could let him know that this happened and say, hey, I'm fine with doing it myself. But with the fear that she could have with that is that he would want to be a part of it, of the kid's life, which in a way also, like, it seems weird that he couldn't be, that you would just keep that from him too. So it's a weird, I don't know. I think you'd be chill enough, but you never know how people are going to react. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is such a tricky situation, which is why I think it was so dope that they just showed all these different points of view on it.
Well, they did this with Mimi Rose and Adam. When she got the abortion without Adam knowing. And that was, man, that was a weird one. Knowing what we know about Mimi Rose now, like first they're like, oh, that was strange how casually, and then you're like, oh, she's not all there. So
So in between this scene and later scenes with Hannah, we get an Elijah side quest where he has a second job now at a retail store.
Bendel's, and he's just sitting.
Yeah. It looks like kind of a high class type of place. And he's just sitting there with his coworker, and they're bored out of their minds. And his coworker has an audition. She asks Elijah to run lines with her. And then they start running these lines, and they're like going full out with this scene. And the scene is a very intense scene where Elijah's character had just done a hit and run and killed a little girl. And they're like yelling this. There's customers walking in the background, and Elijah's like, I hit a girl and I just left the scene. And this scene, after that, his coworker's like, wow, you're really fucking good at acting. So this scene is like his re-sparking the acting flame.
Yeah, that I was fine with. I got some notes on the scene that they were reading.
Okay. Let's hear him, Vance. Director Vance Tucker, everybody.
So the scene is he hit a little girl on his way home, drunk driving, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman he's talking to, I guess his wife or girlfriend, really seems to get upset about the cheating part and not the hitting the little girl part. Like, that's the part that's like, what? You were meeting another woman? I'm like, he might have just killed a kid. Let's put some stuff into perspective. Like, let's find out if this little kid's okay, and then we can get back to the infidelity. I don't know. Yeah. I was just like, wow, okay. Weird way to have that twist.
I wasn't even really paying attention to the actual scene because I was just looking at all, I was waiting for the people in the background to start reacting to Elijah and think that he had actually like done a hit and run. And they're like, oh my God, we got to call the cops on this guy.
Yeah, that's too lowbrow for this show. They wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. There were some like reactions in the background though, like just people looking over being like, what?
But they weren't going to do that like classic sitcom misconstrued.
What a hilarious misunderstanding.
Wait, I thought you said you were going to be there at 5. I thought you said you were going to be there at 5. Like 5 p.m.? 5 a.m.? kind of.
So, yeah. But basically, the gist of this is Elijah wants to be an actor again, or it's inspiring him again.
Yeah, we're really cramming in his dreams real late in the series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that what he always wanted when Adam got to Broadway? Like, right? Like,
dude.
Oh, yeah.
So many peaks and valleys in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so Hannah's at home. She is working on her article for Esquire. And she gets a knock at the door. And it is Jessa. Hannah lets her in. She's like, I can't believe that you didn't tell me. I can't believe I had to hear that you're pregnant from Adam. And Hannah's like, I mean, did you really expect me to pick up the phone and call you? Like, and Jess is like, why? And Hannah's like, are you really asking why? Like, you're fucking, we have beef.
Yeah. It's so weird because they don't talk. And then the scene that we saw them talk was like, hey, we want to ask, can we make a movie about you?
Yeah.
We waited in your hallway to ask you that on your way home. And it's like, wait, you guys, we haven't had a scene where you guys hashed this stuff out yet. Like, we haven't had the Elijah scene that we had earlier in this yet from them.
Yes. And we
so,
have not.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And now this is it. This is that big blow up scene.
Yeah. And whose side are you on here?
I'm on Hannah's side just because Hannah feels that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't invalidate her feelings.
Yeah. I mean, Hannah's basically like, I don't really like you. And I don't know if we were ever friends because you've always been kind of an asshole. And then Jess is like, you can't just erase our friendship. We spent so many times together. Or you can't just erase the past. And Hannah's like, yeah, I don't care. I just don't want to be, I don't want you in my life anymore. See ya. Goodbye. I don't need to tell you anything.
Like I haven't had like friend breakups really that I can really think of that is like a clear cut, like this person is not my friend anymore. But there's people that I haven't talked to in years or a long time that I'm not like not friends with, but also like the past happened. And there's people I was definitely closer with before that I'm not as close with now, but like I don't invalidate the past of those memories, but those memories don't, like, just because you had those memories doesn't mean like you're having the exact same friendship years later, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Vance, I've had clear-cut friendship breakups.
I was 100% sure you did. Like, I had no doubt.
I've had clear-cut ending of friendships with people. And I mean, just because we had good times at one point doesn't mean that I have to be your friend. Like you also, I'm sure, like the people that you've kind of just like fallen out of touch with, it's not like they fucked you over or like started banging your ex-girlfriend or something.
Yeah, no, like, it's just like, oh, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that person in years, or we don't talk like we used to, or, like, we move. Like, yeah, I don't have those. I haven't had, like, a friend blow up where, like, and we're done. So, yeah. You know, I'm a likable chap, so.
I think that everybody has those, like, just fall out of touch with people. Yeah.
Well, you know? I just didn't like her argument that, like, we had history, so that we have to stand. Yeah. Because the thought that popped in my head was, like, when she's like, you can't just get rid of someone out of your life. And I was like, didn't you have a friend who faked her death to get away from you, Jessa?
Yeah.
Like, that person had a kid and a family, too. And they faked their death to get away from you, Jessa. Like, yeah. People, like, what Hannah's doing is light work. This is light.
Yeah, this is nothing compared to the shit that you've gone through.
Yeah.
But
the self-awareness again with Hannah being like, I know I might be a psychopath and yours, and Jess is like, I'm a sociopath, you're a psychopath, and Hannah's like, yeah, probably. But like, I don't want to, like, I just don't want to be friends with you anymore. And it was really, I wasn't sure if Hannah was going to go through with it, really, because we've seen her not be able to do this.
Yeah, I was kind of oddly proud of Hannah for standing her ground and just being like, yeah, I don't care. No. I don't want you in my life.
And I'm not like 100% against Jessa here, but it's tough for what we've seen, if we're talking about the past and episodes, to be like, oh, you were really good friends with Hannah this whole time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know. Like, are you trying to be friends with her now because she doesn't want to be friends with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like what she wanted to do with the lady that faked her death. Like, she was mad that that person left her. It's kind of like a Jessa thing. Like, if you leave me, I feel like I need to have you back. As opposed to...
Like Ace with Mimi Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wants what she can't have.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it feels like. It feels like she didn't have a problem ignoring and being a... Yeah, she was mad. She was mean to Hannah when she was moving, too. When she was leaving New York, she got real pissed off. Like, she has the abandonment issues. And, like, that's what she's dealing with. And I'm sorry. What you did caused this abandonment. So.
Yeah. So, Jessa leaves. Hannah just kind of fucking sits back on her couch. Goes back to work. Then the next thing we see Elijah cooking up some veggie burgers for the two of them because it's veggie burger night. And he's rambling on about how he's like, you know, maybe I should be an actor, but should I be, if I'm a Broadway actor, skilled actor, should I be doing things that are less than Broadway? Or should I make my sole focus Broadway? And Hannah's just kind of sitting there. Not really listening, it seems like. Gets up, walks into her room, closes the door. Elijah's like, but it's veggie burger night.
Like, he's just rambling on. But I feel like that's what you get with Elijah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But he doesn't realize she just had this Jessa conversation.
Yeah. And he also doesn't realize what's about to happen, which is... Hannah goes into her room and makes a kind of half-hearted attempt to call Paul Louis. She calls the resort that he works at and is like, hey, is Paul Louis there? He's like the head water ski instructor. And the person's like, oh, I'm just a receptionist. I don't know anybody.
I think she's like, I'm remotely. Remote.
Yeah. And Hannah's like, all right, you know what? Never mind. Forget it. Hangs up the phone and then opens up her laptop to watch Adam's film, which is titled Full Dis semicolon Closure.
Yeah, I almost went back to try to
It's colon.
Yeah. Full Dis Closure. Like, God, that's so arty.
Yeah.
And that's where we get the title, apparently. I guess there's a double entendre element to it, but
yeah. Yeah. I'll give myself a 45% correct.
Wow, you're not going to go 50?
Nah, I'll go 45. Because she never doesn't actually disclose it to Paul Louis.
Okay.
Look at you. But there is discussion about disclosures.
Yeah, look at you showing some self-awareness.
Yeah. I'm a Elijah Hannah right now.
You might be a better person when we're done with this series.
Doubtful, read our reviews. Anyway, so it starts to watch the movie, and you know, it's the first scene is Adam fucking Hannah or Mira and like super hardcore, and then Hannah just turns away and she goes, "Great, it's a porno." Which is just the greatest.
That line delivery is money.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah.
Great. It's a porno. But as she keeps watching, you know, she gets really sucked in and is like, oh my God, this was our relationship. This is like raw and emotional. And this is how Adam really felt about it. And this is like our relationship. And that's kind of where the episode ends, except for there's like a scene during the credits that is from Full Disclosure that shows how Adam and Hannah met.
Oh, I didn't even watch that. I didn't extend through the credits. Because the last thing I saw was when the Mira character gets out of bed. He's like, oh, I want to stay in bed like this forever. She's like, I got to get out of bed because I don't want to get a UTI. And I'm like, damn it, she nailed it.
Yeah. Give this woman an award.
Speaking of which, that actress, I looked her up. She is the youngest like Tony Award winner for a Broadway play that she
really
she was in. Yeah.
What play was she in?
I'm gonna look it up. But the line that got me was like it's just Adam's in bed and he's looking. And he's looking at her, like he's looking into the empty space, so he's staring at Hannah, and he's just like, bed's getting cold, and they're both like looking at each other, and it's just, it's got this, are they going to get back together kind of vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or it was like, oh, they're meant to be together, like, it was a very, like, emotional scene, it seemed like.
Yeah. Daisy Egan, she's the one playing Mira, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she became the youngest recipient to receive the Tony Award for her performance in The Secret Garden with Mandy Patinkin.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I was in a high school production of The Secret Garden, but I quit the week before because I had a lacrosse playoff game the same days that or a tournament the same days that the play was happening and the director was not pleased.
And you played professional lacrosse for 2 years and you never acted again? Is that how the story ends? Or is it the other way around?
I did actually go on to act in a couple of things and get paid. So.
I know, but that lacrosse
didn't pay out. Well, that was also like a really small role in the play.
You know what they say, there's no small roles.
Oh, wow. All right.
There's no small roles, only small actors. You pulled an Adam. You pulled an Adam.
I did. Yes, I did.
You quit a production, put everybody in a bad spot.
Yeah, I absolutely did. So the scene that you missed during the credits is how Adam and Hannah met, and it's Hannah's in, it looks like a bodega or maybe like a candy store or something, and Adam's working behind the counter, and Hannah takes an almond out of, you know how like in candy stores they have that thing where you like have a scoop and you can put it in a bag and weigh it? It's like that, but she lifts an almond out. And then eats it. And then Adam catches her and he's like, are you fucking serious? What are you doing? Like, you can't just do that. And Hannah's like, well, I'm sorry. It's not that big of a deal. And then he hops out from behind the counter and he goes on some kind of rant about sugar and like refined sugar and natural sugar. It's all the same bullshit. something like that. And then he goes to write his number on her hand and he like stabs her hand and she's like, ow. And he's like, good. And she's like, what do you mean good? And he goes, because if it hurts, you'll remember it. And then that's the scene that you missed.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Has there been other scenes during the credits?
Not that I can recall. Because right. Usually I'm still writing something down during the credits.
Yeah.
And so they kind of play and then it'll just go automatically to the next episode after like 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But this time it didn't do that. So I was like, oh, something must be happening.
I'm always running late to the podcast. So as soon as it ends, I'm like scrambling to get set up. Or like doing something else. I'm like always cramming the show. And I'm like, and that's the last scene. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, write in if we've missed a post-credit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is this episode. Do you have any final thoughts for this episode, Full Disclosure, Vance?
Do you think they're getting back together to end this series?
I don't know. I was trying to think, like, do you think this series is going to end with her having the baby?
I don't think they're going to do that time leap.
Yeah?
Because if they were going to do that time leap, what do we got, 4 episodes left? They could, but, like, you could have done a jump to, like, maybe 4 months here or 3 months. I don't think she's having the baby this season. I'm going to say, I'll come out. I've been wrong before. I don't think she's having a baby this season.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that they're not going to get back together, Adam and Hannah. I don't think that she can forgive the stuff that's been going on between them. I think it's just going to be like an everybody goes their separate ways and it's bittersweet type of deal.
Okay. I got to say I'm rooting for her not to get back with Adam just because that was such a... It was the big point of last season's finales that she was able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh, yeah, she said she's moved on. She definitely should have moved on after hearing him screaming cunt and bitch and everything outside of the door, you know, before she did her mouth thing. And then this episode, she's like, I know you're not over it yet. And I'm like, I think she kind of was, even though her acting in that scene shows she wasn't like... The end of last season, she was over it.
I feel like she's over it. She was just annoyed with Adam that he's there and like disturbing her peace. And she's also pregnant and she's got a whole bunch of other new shit to worry about. And Adam's like, you're not over it. She's like, go fuck yourself, dude. I'm over it.
Yeah, but her gritting her teeth wasn't an over it type of vibe. I don't think she's ever fully over it, but I mean, yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since they weren't dating.
Yeah. I just feel like this series is going to end on a bummer note for everybody.
I can see that.
But that is Full Disclosure. The next episode is titled The Bounce. I got a little bit of a kind of preview of it because I saw the screen, you know how on Amazon they have like first screen and it's Elijah, looks like he's doing the splits or something. He's like he's going back into Broadway full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe yeah, he's that's got the that best booty
could, bounce. That's the best I could think about it, unless Adam is playing basketball with Ray. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Remember Ray was in that fucking basketball league for that one episode?
He was playing basketball outside at like Tompkins or something.
Yeah. What the fuck, dude? So much stuff has happened in this that just never got followed up on.
Well, you don't need to follow up on him playing basketball.
Where is Caroline? Where is the baby?
I will say the Caroline thing. Like... Even without the baby, finding out what happens to Adam's sister seems like something that needs to be remedied before the end of the show.
Good luck. I don't think it's happening.
I don't know. I didn't think Paul Louis was going to be a character that we ever needed to remember, but here we are.
That's true. He's the papa, the baby daddy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Check back with us next time for when we discuss The Bounce. See ya.
But it's veggie patty night.